Luke chapter 12. Today, I want to talk about how to overcome worrying. There's an old saying that I love, and the saying goes just like this. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but rather empties today of its strength. Watch what Jesus says as he begins to talk to his disciples about worrying, because worrying is not new. Worrying is an old temptation, but watch what the Bible says in verse 22. Then he, talking about Jesus, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry. And I looked up this word worry, and I love this definition right here. Worry means to afflict with mental distress or agitation. So what Jesus is saying, he's saying, listen, guys, I say to you, stop afflicting yourself with mental distress. Stop agitating yourself. Stop stressing your mind, your thoughts. Stop stressing your spirit. He says, do not worry. Now, why would Jesus be telling his disciples to not worry? Wouldn't you think that if anybody should be encouraged and confident and not have a care in the world and not worry, wouldn't you think it would be his disciples? I mean, after all, they saw eyes open, they saw deaf ears hear, they saw the lame walk. But why would Jesus have to tell these guys, don't worry? Well, I'll tell you, it's because they've all given up something to follow him. They've all given up something to follow Christ. So now fear of how to live without what they've given up or the uncertainty of the future have a tendency to open the door to worry. When you realize that I've given up, you know, everybody in here, when you decide to follow Christ, you give something up. You give up certain resources, you give up certain things, you give up certain habits, you give up certain people. And some of those habits, some of those people, some of those things were guaranteed money. It was guaranteed resources. But you knew in order to follow Christ, you had to give that up. Sometimes now we worry about how do I function? How do I move forward without that? Because at least I knew, even if that was unhealthy, at least I knew I'd always have some money in my pocket, or I'd always have a connection, or I'd always have A, B, C, or X, Y, Z. So now I worry about how to move forward without that. Moving forward means going into my future. I'm uncertain about my future. So the uncertainty of my future causes me to worry. I looked up some more definitions of worry, and it's amazing. I didn't even know some of these were the definitions of worry, but as I read them, watch how worry does to you. Watch these words, and it's exactly what worry does to you. One definition said worry is to choke or to strangle, to harass by tearing, biting, or snapping, especially at the throat, to shake or to pull at with the teeth, to touch or disturb something repeatedly, to change the position of or adjust by repeated pushing or hauling, to assail with rough or aggressive attack or treatment, to torment, to subject to persistent or nagging attention or effort. There's so many definitions of worrying, but they all lead me to my first point. My first point is this: worrying is destructive. It's destructive. Let me tell you, worrying is designed to destroy your day. How many times have you woke up and you're feeling good until you remembered your issues? You're feeling okay until you remembered your problem. You're feeling great. You woke up, oh, I'm ready. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, no, the light bill is due today and I don't have any money. Worrying is designed to destroy your day. It's designed to destroy your joy. It's designed to destroy your peace. It's impossible to worry and have peace. You can't worry and have joy. It's designed to destroy your sense of comfort. Worrying is designed to destroy your security. It's designed to destroy your confidence. It's designed to destroy your hope. It's designed to destroy your dreams. It's designed to destroy your faith. It's designed to destroy your destiny. Ultimately, worry is not happy until it destroys your life. Watch what he says, speaking of. He says, do not worry about your life. Stop letting it stress you out. Don't worry about it. What you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. He says, stop worrying about what you're going to eat. And how many times have you been stressed out because you didn't have enough money to buy groceries? How many times have you've been stressed out because you didn't know when your next meal was coming from? Jesus says, don't worry about that. How many times have you been stressed because you didn't have anything to wear? How many times have you said, well, I would go to church, but I ain't got nothing to wear. I would go to this banquet, this concert, this event, but I don't have anything to wear. And that revelation causes you to stress. It causes you to worry. Watch what he says in verse 23. He says, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. He says, life is so much more than the things that we're worried about. He says, don't let worry hinder your ability to focus on what life is really about. That brings me to another characteristic of worry. Because, you know, worry has a way of making you think you need that in order to survive. You need it to happen just like this in this time frame, with these ingredients, with these people. And if it doesn't happen like this, things are not going to work out well. That's worry. That brings me to another characteristic of worry. Worry is not just destructive, but worry is deceptive. One of worry's initial goals is to cause you to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Worry is designed to give you a false impression. It convinces you of its priorities, its requirements, its time frames, its necessities. Can I tell you something about worry? Worry loves to take something and create an uncomfortable scenario around it. Worry says this. Come here, let's talk. Let's talk. I know you're having a good day, but I just want to remind you something really quick. You got bills, and you don't have enough money to pay them. Wait, come here. Let's log on to your bank account. Go ahead. Type in your password. Worrisome 101. Look at your balance. That's not enough. And guess what? I know you were thinking, yeah, but I get paid tomorrow. But guess what? That money's already spent. And you don't get paid again for 2 weeks. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But if I were you, I'd worry. And you sit there and you go, yeah. Worry says, come here. They don't. They talk about you behind your back. They're not really your friends. If I were you, I'd worry. Worry likes to hover while you sleep and watch over you. And worry waits for you to wake up. And the moment you wake up, worry says, good morning. How you doing? How'd you sleep? Not that good, huh? You know why, right? You didn't sleep that well because your credit is so shot. Your debt is so high. Your credit card balance is so much. You'll never come out of this. I mean, I don't know what you should do, but if I were you, I'd worry. And how many times do we find ourselves saying the words that worry dictated into our spirit? I don't have enough this. I don't have enough. I'm never going to come out of debt. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have children. I'm never going to have a good job. I'm never going to own a home. I'm never going to finish my education. I'm never going to be healed. I'm never going to break this addiction. That's all a deception placed into your spirit through worry. Worry is designed to take a scenario and create an uncomfortable feeling about it. But it is deception. Through deception, worry forces us to focus more on the means than we do the end. Here's how worry works. Come here. All of your stuff you're going through, how is he going to fix this? And we begin to focus on the how. How am I going to get out of this? How is this going to work? How is this going to happen? How am I going to? And the how causes us to worry. When we shouldn't be focused on the means, we should be focused on the end. What's the end? The end is to glorify God. Yeah, right. So whatever it is we're going through, God is allowing it so that somehow he may be glorified in it. How would you know that God was a healer if he never allowed you to get sick? How would you know? How would you know he's a way maker if you've never needed him to make a way? How would you know that God is an encourager if you've never been depressed? See, we want to live on our grandma's testimony, grandma told me that God was a way maker. And God says, that's cute, but you're about to have your own testimony. You're going to know that he's a way maker. I believe that there's some people in here already this year that says, I went from hearing about it to knowing it. I went from hearing he's a way maker to knowing he's a way maker. I went from hearing that he's a deliverer to knowing that he is a deliverer. God says, I create different scenarios for you, not so that you can worry, but so that you can know how big I am in your life. Watch what he says in verse 24. He seems to change the channel on me. He's talking to these guys about worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothes. And almost as if he's not getting through, in verse 24, he turns a corner. He says, consider the ravens. What? He said, oh, I got it. Hey, y'all, let's consider, watch this. Not look at, consider. That means let's take your mind off of what you're thinking about right now, and let's put our mind on the ravens. Let's talk about the birds for a second. Why is he doing? I thought we were talking about worrying. Why does he shift my attention to ravens? You want to know why? Because worry has a way of blinding you to the world around you. How many times have you been so worried that you didn't feel like doing nothing? You've been so worried that somebody says, hey, come with us to the beach. No, y'all go ahead. Come with us to the park. No, y'all go ahead. Come with us to dinner. No, y'all go ahead. Hey, y'all want to come watch the game over at my house? No, y'all go ahead. We hanging out over blah. No, y'all go ahead. Worry is like, yes, stay alone. Don't get around anybody. Don't go outside. Stay by yourself. Worry has a way of blinding us to the world around us. Why would worry want to do that? Because the world around us shows us just how loving, how caring, how giving, and how in control God really is. If you just looked at the world around you, you'd see just how strategic, just how calculating, just how in control, just how much power God really has. If you just thought about how is the moon just hanging there? How is the sun just hanging there? But you know what you do? You worry and you close your blinds. And worry goes, yes, block that sun, block that moon. Because if you just look at that, you'll be reminded of how in control God is. The stars don't make sense. I don't care what anybody says. An airplane still doesn't make sense. Well, it gets up enough speed and then this, that, and the other. Yeah, okay, whatever. There are certain things that still don't make water. A round earth and nobody's falling off on the bottom. How's that happening? How does gravity just keep? It has to be. If you just look around. So he says, guys, let's do this. Let's just look around for a second. He says, consider the ravens. Watch what he says about the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap. In other words, they can't even do what you and I do. All they have is God. They don't have little raven jobs. They don't have little raven school. They don't go get a little raven education, get a little raven diploma. They don't have, you know, little raven fraternities and raven sororities. And he says, they can't even do what we do. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't have investments. They don't have money coming in. Raven doesn't even know what a fixed income is. He says, look at them. They don't sow. They don't reap. All they have is God, which have neither storehouse nor barn. But watch what happens. And God feeds them. And then he's working. Jesus. His presentation is awesome. How he goes from the lesser to the greater. He says, in order to convince you of how important you are, let's start with something that's lesser than you and watch how God takes care of it. Then you will get the weight of how God will take care of you. So he works his argument from the lesser to the greater. Let's start with birds. You're way bigger than a bird. If God can take care of a bird, then you know God can take care of you. He said they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't have storehouses, they don't have barns, they don't have anything. He said, and yet God feeds them. Then he says, of how much more value are you than the birds? In other words, if you just look at a bird, and birds don't fly around worried. Look at the bird. Your birds don't fly around like... You ever watch Sesame Street? How happy is Big Bird? Big Bird is just, oh, he's snuffy. Big Bird is just happy because Big Bird, birds know, listen, I serve a God who will supply all of my needs. Birds don't worry. I was at Warner Brothers one time eating lunch, and this bird flew down and landed on this man's shoulder while he was eating lunch. Okay, God knows who to let that happen to. Because if that ever happened to me, everybody going to the hospital. Because I'm turning this thing out. I'm kicking over the table. I'm going, a bird land on my shoulder, I'm done. So this bird landed on his shoulder. And this man just said, oh, no, look at the little man. All right, he gonna beat your eyes out. So this man took bread, and he began to break the bread up. And he started feeding the bird on his shoulder. This bird had so much faith to know wherever I land, God's gonna feed me. You ever pay attention to pigeons? When you go eat somewhere, when you're eating outside and pigeons come around, who's scared, you or the pigeon? The pigeons, aren't they just be walking around looking at you like, you know, whatever you drop on me, and you be like, ugh, oh shoot, oh, I can't take this. Y'all wanna go eat inside? Pigeons aren't worried. Well, if God can take care of a pigeon, of a raven, of a bird, don't you know God can take care of you? If God can take care of a raven, he can give you a job. If he takes care of a bird, he can heal your relationship. If he can take care of a bird, he can heal your body. If he can take care of a bird, he can heal your mind. If he can take care of a bird, God can hook you up because you're so much greater than a bird. We are the only creatures in creation that God has to constantly remind who he is. He has to constantly get on us, chastise us, correct us. God didn't have to do that with any other creation. God never had to tell the fish, oh my, if you don't get back in that water, get out the tree, you're going to kill yourself acting like that. You keep flopping up here getting in there. All right, you know what? I'm out of it. You know what? I'm going to give you over to a reprobate mind. And you're just going to kill yourself because you're going to find out you ain't got no oxygen. The fish knows, God put me in this water. I'm staying right here in this water. The dogs just walk down the street. They're not worried. We're the only ones of God's creation who God has to constantly remind us, I'm your father. I'm your creator. I'm your protector. I'm still here. I haven't left you. And even after he confirms and confirms and confirms and confirms, we're the only ones who still pray for confirmation. Even after he's confirmed it. God, if it's really you, let the air condition cut on by itself. Okay. Now, if it's really, really, really you, if it's really you, let the TV cut on by itself tonight on the evening news. You're like, okay. God, if it's really you, let a dog bark. Okay. Now, God, if it's really, 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 and God is going, knock it off. I have to confirm to you every day that I'm still here. How much more? So you know what I notice about worry? Worry is just straight up unnecessary. It's not needed. It's unnecessary. Watch what he says. He says, consider the ravens, but then watch in verse 25. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Not only does worrying blind us to the world around us, but worrying blinds us to itself. Some of us are convinced that worry is actually healthy. In spite of seeing people who worry has driven to the hospital, and ultimately worry has driven to the grave, we've seen people die from worry, and yet we are convinced that worrying is healthy. But you don't like to say worry, so you know what you say? I'm not worried, I'm concerned. But I'm not worried. And we begin to substitute words to make us feel good about worrying. He says, what has worry done for you lately? You've been worrying. How's that working for you? When's the last time you worried about something and your worry fixed it? This is Pastor Marlon Saunders, the senior pastor of Valencia Christian Center. You really need to get this message in its entirety. Listen, if you'd like to get this entire message, email me at Pastor Marlon
at valenciachristiancenter.org, and I'll make sure to get this entire message into your hands. Until next time, may God continue to bless you. May God continue to use you.